Hi, everybody. Sorry, we're starting a tiny bit late today. Do I have Aquadas on the phone with us? Das, are you with me?
This is Seth. This is Chris.
Can you hear me? Let me mute everybody. Das, can you hear me okay? Call. Okay, everybody. I'm so sorry we're having a little technical difficulty this morning with our call. I'm Veronica, and this is Grow Hemp Colorado's free conference calls, our Friday 11 o'clock. We have two guests with us today. We have Aquadas with Hemp Ice Cream, and we have our second part of the call will be with our guest Shay from Publish Green Publishing, talking about our hemp opportunity sponsorship with a hemp farmer out here in Colorado today. So let me ask one more time, Doc, do I have you on the phone?
Hemp opportunity sponsorship call.
Right, everybody, give me 1 second. Let me find Doc. Okay, sorry everybody, he's jumping on the call right now. So give us just a few more seconds and we'll get started with today's call. While we're waiting for Doss to get on the phone, does anyone have any important questions they want to ask or anything they want to communicate to the rest of us or future callers? Feel free to do so. Just introduce yourself before you start talking.
Hey, Veronica.
Yes.
Hey, this is Chris Farnworth.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Hey, as far as buying bulk industrial hemp seed, what do you figure the limits are for this year?
Well, bulk is really just a matter of what you can get your hands on. So, you know, I want to say what's available in the state. You know, depending on who you talk to or who's registered with the state, they may have, you know, enough to give a, maybe perhaps a few pounds to a few people, but I can't see 300 acres or even 30 acres with multiple people happening, unfortunately.
Maybe a couple pounds might be available for this year's growing season if you really search around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you could, you know, perhaps cultivate quite a bit on your own as well just by getting your hands on some plants or some seeds that can be vegged and cloned or cut and rooted. So I have a group of gentlemen that have almost 550 clones already from their 20 plants. So that's a really good job. All right, I think I heard Doss just jump on. Doss, are you on with us? maybe not. All right. Go ahead. Did I answer your question? Actually, DOS, once he gets on the phone, he has, I believe, some seed available for sale. And I can give everybody, or he will hopefully, give everybody his contact information after the call. And if you guys want to kind of follow up with him about whatever hemp seed he has available, you know, that's a possibility right there.
Thank you.
Sure.
So my name is Bailey, and I actually had a question as well.
Sure, Bailey, go ahead.
So at this current time, are there any stipulations versus a hemp farmer and a home grower? So can a home grower produce their own small amount of hemp and hemp products, or do they have to be a licensed farmer?
I mean, if you're going to commercially develop a product, yes, you need to be licensed. If you're going to do some kind of significant R&D, it's definitely a good protection. But we did essentially legalize hemp growing and hemp in Colorado under 64. So I would say the answer is yes to some small personal cultivation. But if it develops into a business opportunity, that's kind of a different level.
Okay. And so at that point, it's just recommended to get licensing then, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not very expensive. The state is very supportive, and they're really trying to help us and work with us. So, I mean, it's definitely worth the $200-ish dollars for, like, an acre of commercial, or then you have R&D. You just can't really sell anything under R&D at this point. So.
Okay.
All right. Doss, are you on the phone with us yet?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. All right, everybody. Thanks for holding on, everybody. We're gonna get started officially. DOS, thank you for joining us. DOS is with Hemp Ice Cream, and he is going to be our first guest speaker today and talk about a number of items. So as soon as DOS is done, we'll have a little chance to do some question and answer session if anybody has any questions for DOS. So DOS, please tell us about yourself and, you know, your role in Colorado Hemp.
Oh, sure. I began working with hemp inspired by the illustrious Jack Hare, who said that hemp seed oil may be the best possible food you could put in your body. And so in 1990, I began pressing hemp seed oil, and the oil press, the people that I was using were going out of business, and so I bought the press from them. And I became the first dedicated hemp seed oil press back in the and I've never been the same since. We start with the hemp seeds. We clean them off if there's rocks and other materials. So we clean them by size, and we remove the rocks, and we're removing seeds. Then we press it into a super tasty oil, and we produce a protein powder. And we will be providing shelled hemp seeds without the hulls on them. Though they taste those wonderful hemp nuts that taste so much like a pinion nut or like a macadamia. And so I started with the wonderful hemp seed, and I've been working so that we can hit the ground running with products and processes and markets and infrastructure so that we can handle the hemp harvests that are going to be coming in. Right now there's more land than there is seed enough to plant it, which actually could be a blessing in disguise because that gives us a little bit of time to encourage each other to form the kinds of businesses around processing hemp that we are definitely going to need in order for this to move forward. So I started out with dessert, like my grandmother would recommend. She said, life is uncertain, start with dessert. So we started out making hemp seed, hemp seed ice cream, the hemp ice cream. You can get that in many parts of the country, in Whole Foods or Vitamin Cottage or your local natural food store. You know, definitely ask the frozen manager if you can't find it. Where is it? We now, for this coming summer, We have distribution in the Southern California area, the New York, New Jersey, Eastern Seaboard, as well as the areas that we've been in for a long time in the Rocky Mountain, around 8 states around Colorado.
Let me interrupt you really quick. So for all the callers now and in the future who are not familiar with hemp ice cream, tell us about hemp ice cream. What's the benefits of hemp ice cream? When did you start hemp ice cream? When, where, and why hemp ice cream?
Oh, yeah, I was, it was in the summertime, and somebody said there's maybe 10,000 uses to hemp, but nobody could make ice cream out of hemp. And I said, let me think about that. And there's that year, going into 1994, I think, I had made my first hemp ice cream. And somebody at that party said, well, nobody could change the laws on hemp. It would take somebody who could sell ice cream in a snowstorm. And I said, well, I want to be somebody that could change those laws. And so as a character-building experience, there was a big snowstorm, Grateful Dead concert, and I had petitions for medical, and I sold several cases of our hemp ice cream in a snowstorm as a character-building experience so I could be somebody, you know, with enough tenacity to change those laws. And look what we've done.
Yes, thank you, Doss. I appreciate your courageousness. So what are the benefits of hemp ice cream?
Oh, there's no dairy in it. It's totally vegan. No dairy, no soy, no rice, no whey. Why dilute the world's perfect food? There's this is full protein. There's 4 grams of protein in a 4 ounce serving. Actually, there's more like 6 grams of protein in it. And there's 4,000 milligrams of hemp oil essential fats and 7 grams of dietary fiber that help move cholesterol out of your body. And the really amazing thing is that it does not taste a bit like a rope. It'll make you strong like a rope. It's shockingly delicious. It does everything your tongue would expect of a good dairy ice cream. Every time you share with a friend, it's an opportunity to have some dialogue about hemp and how we can improve and save the planet.
Gotcha. People are interested in buying hemp ice cream. Where do they get it? Vitamin Cottage, Whole Foods? Where can they get it?
Vitamin Cottage and Whole Foods and independent natural food stores like the El Dorado Market. Sun Deli. So we've done not many of the, independent places, but I think you're soon going to be able to get hemp ice cream at a convenience store and at a King Soopers and an Albertsons and a Safeway. Our strategy is high profile and mainstreaming. And so we just started with the health food stores, but hemp feeds the hungry. It's a fantastic food. It's way more digestible than soybean protein, even in its raw form. Soy has to be cooked in order to make it digestible. Hemp seeds are fully digestible in their raw form.
Interesting. All right. So yes, it did. Thank you very much. I appreciate all that and detailed information. I love the hemp ice cream, by the way. Chocolate is my favorite. Let's talk. You have a lot of experience in processing hemp. One of probably the only people I know in Colorado or America that has any real experience processing hemp. So I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like for people who want to do something like pressing oil with their seeds. If there's farmers at the end of the season that want to experiment with oil pressing, how is that done? Who do they go to? Can they contact you? Like, walk us through that.
Sure. My contact, I'm a consultant in helping people start businesses in ways where they don't lose their shirt. So I try to do things to help reduce a person's risk. I have an oil press that can be trailer mounted and brought to their facility. I have seed cleaning equipment, and you can get a hold of me. My email is das.ellis@gmail.com, and easier to remember is simply das@hempiscream. Hemp, the letter I, and scream, like the opposite of a whisper, .com. Either of those will get a hold of me. Also, 303-237-3579, or my cell, 303-524-4339. I do the best I can to make this work. I was doing hemp foods back when there was no money in it. I'm hopeful that we can get enough money in this that everybody can be able to make some money at this and stay in business. We have seed cleaning. Also, I've been offering a fiber breaking where we take stalks that are grown in Colorado and we break the flexible fiber away from the herds. The herds can be used for building materials or animal bedding. And the flexible fiber can be carded and spun into yarn and thread, as well as pulped into paper. We're looking at providing paper for some of the publications and a commercial-grade paper that you can run through your printer or a copier. We have made large hand sheets that we printed the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights and framed it. And there's one that we gave to Claire Levy, the sponsor of the Colorado Hemp Farm Bill. There, and also Senator Lloyd Casey, who was the first person to introduce an agricultural hemp bill in Colorado. There are, you know, the fiber, when it's freshly broken, is a bit on the scratchy side, but it can be readily bonded to make, I think it's being used as sound-deadening panels in cars. I wore a hemp fiber batting helmet that was hemp fiber and resin. I suppose we could make a boat hull out of it.
Wow.
I'm going to be teaching some classes with the Chokecherry Farm in Crestone on the practical arts of hemp, teaching people how to strip the fiber from the stalk and card it and spin it. We're going to, you know, make it into some yarn, soften it to the point where you could make some underwear or a baby's blanket.
And when are those classes going to start?
Those are going to be this summer. Through you can contact me directly to get the calendar of the starting times of those. But we're going to be doing one at the in the middle summer around the summer solstice, and then we'll also be doing another one around hemp harvest time. I make contributions on food, fiber, and fuel, and so in Crestone we have a 45 kilowatt Onan genset that can be powered with the gas from wood chips or hemp herds. And I'm really eager to have my first ton of hemp herds for running that that electric generator off of gasified hemp herds. We also have a pellet mill. We can make pellets from hemp herds, so you can run them in your pellet stove.
Okay, let me digress a tiny bit because I have two other things I want to ask you about, but I want to go back to processing hemp oil really quick. And I want to give some 101s about it. So I want you to give us a very simple breakdown of what people can expect if they were to have, I don't know, an acre of hemp, you know, seed that was produced. How much can they expect? Like, give us some numbers of what oil, you know, seed versus oil. And what that could look like.
Oh, certainly. The Canadians have been reporting between 400 and 2,000 pounds per acre of hemp harvest. largely regardless of how close or distant you plant it. The seed needs to be around 10% moisture. So you want to be blessed by some dry days at harvest time, but once the birds start paying attention to your seeds, they can take it all away terribly quickly. So you need to beat the birds to it. You cut the stalks and you put them in a dry space where they can dry out, and then you thresh them and clean all the plant material away from the seeds. And I do have a clipper type seed cleaner, which can be very very handy in removing all that plant material from your seeds. And then we have a triple clean method that we use that gets the seed clean enough that you get an outstanding flavor. Removes the rocks, removes the dead, bad-tasting seeds. And then our oil press is like a long screw, a lot like a meat grinder, but a meat grinder on steroids. It's got a cage where the oil comes out from between the bars. And then the solid part of the seed with the protein comes out the nose of the machine. And some machines have it like a corn chip, like a blue corn tortilla chip. Looks a lot like that. Other machines have it come out, it looks like a pellet, 3/8 to a half inch diameter. In either of those cases, the protein is very valuable. Some people consider it way more valuable than the hemp seed oil. We'll see. And then we also can remove the hull, which gives you those wonderful hemp nuts or hemp hearts. They taste a lot like pinion nuts. You can make a fantastic pesto out of that, completely replacing the olive oil with hemp seed oil and replacing the pine nuts with shelled hemp seeds. And then, of course, you know, since I'm a chef, I toss in a few whole pinion nuts as a garnish just for the attitude and the look.
Nice. Well, let me ask you, Doss, let me ask you a question really quick. So if I had a kilo of hemp seed, like 2.2 pounds, I believe a kilo is, and I had a machine, or I came to you and I wanted you to press it for me, how much oil can I expect from that kilo of seed that I grow?
Oh, let me change the units to something more familiar. 50
okay.
pounds of seed produces 1 gallon of oil.
Okay.
You can get 2 gallons from 100 weight. My oil press can process 1 ton of seeds per day, produce around 50 gallons of oil in a day.
And then are you saying there's a second kind of component that comes off the press, which is the protein powder? It's like a leftover material. Is that correct?
Well, I wouldn't call it a leftover. I'd call it a co-product. It may be as valuable, if not more valuable, than the oil.
Okay.
And, you know, the hemp seed oil right now is probably around $25 or $30 a gallon is what I've been paying for hemp seed oil if I get it from Canada. I recommend that any hemp seed oil be kept at freezer temperatures. The hemp seed oil will oxidize on contact with air. You get about a 30-day shelf life of delicious oil at room temperature, 2 to 4 months in the refrigerator, a year and a half at the freezer temperature. And hemp seed oil is amazing in that it stays liquid even at freezer temperatures. Almost any of the other edible oils that we have don't have as much omegas in them, and it's those omegas that give it the wonderful low-temperature characteristics. And the 85% omega polyunsaturated fats that are very very highly nutritious. They're good for keeping us healthy. The hemp seed oil is in a massage. It's like unforgettable, but it'll harden. So you put about 10% hemp seed oil in your favorite massage oil, and it puts a glide on your skin that, you know, anybody giving or receiving a massage will especially enjoy.
That sounds definitely great. Sounds like a great product someone could just make from home, you know, if they have the ability to press. So that's something down the road. Maybe in the future we will talk about, like, paper pulping and stuff like this, because I know that you can do all those cool things. But I do want to quickly talk about seed. I understand that you are one of the state-approved hemp seed distributors and distributors. Do you want to discuss that real quick? Or do you have seed available? Can people contact you for that?
Yes. I will soon have an import permit, angels willing, to where we can bring in, you know, ton to truckload quantities of seed from Canada or the EU. You should contact me for details on that. We're also at hempicecream.com. We've got, I'm working with some outstanding seed developers, and I'd say that we are in grow-out stage. And in the seed development, you know, you have a sort of a lineage. The initial seed is your developer seed, and then you produce the next generation is called foundation seed, and then registered seed, and then finally certified seed. And so that certified seed is four generations away. And you can expect, between 50 and 100-fold increase. When you plant a pound of seed, you might get 50 to 100 pounds of harvest. And so that gives us enough for in 4 years. We're 4 years at the very worst away from 1,000-acre seed crops, starting with just one seed that really makes the test. And so I'm working with some outstanding seed developers. If you're doing development seed, you need to make sure that you're at least 5 miles away from any other growing cannabis plants, or have very reliable methods of genetically isolating. Because I believe that, a neglected outdoor pot crop can do more damage to hemp genetics than vice versa. And, you know, we need to have good neighbor practice. We want to avoid having snarls. I would say whoever was there first should have priority. You know, that's not in anybody's rules or regulations. That's just the way you'd be a good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody finds that they are having some seeds from whatever, you know, that are interfering with what they're doing, you know, put your space under a positive pressure with a fan and a filter. You know, the hemp pollen is, I think Ben Holmes says they're around 18 microns in diameter. So a 1-micron filter, which is nothing exotic, would give you a complete elimination of any outdoor pollen. In seed development, you need to know the parentage. I consider the males having much more distinct heritable and controllable characteristics than the females, because the females will make a seed off any pollen that's available. You know, you don't have as nearly as much control in your selection and upgrading. So I pick the males, and I'm maintaining a steadily growing pollen bank of outstanding individuals that have, I mean, look at what are the characteristics that are valuable. If you want a high seed yield, you want something that's going to start blooming nice and early. You want something that makes nice big seeds, that has a short distance between the internodes, vigorous growth, and sets seeds really heavy. So you want to, you know, the female, you can look at how good of a seed setting characteristic it has. But the, you know, the hemp has been taking care of itself in the wild. You know, the wild naturalized feral hemp dates back to, you know, World War II and the War of 1812. 12 in colonial times. And so the birds have been spreading genetics of these across the country. And if you, I recently saw a map of the counties in the United States that reported wild ditchweed growing. And, you know, the Midwest is, has got only a few counties that don't have wild hemp growing in them. And those plants have been taking care of themselves in the wild for over 70 years. And so they do the things that take good care of the cannabis plant. And, you know, and apparently the potent smokable is something that only takes care of the humans. And so those varieties out in the wild are, you know, they have some wild characteristics. You know, they shatter. A bird lands on it around the fall, and he gets one seed, and 10 seeds fall to the ground. You know, that's one of those wild characteristics that, you know, wild hemp has developed. Similarly, there's latency. A seed that falls off the plant isn't going to germinate right away. It waits. It has a very low germination until it's gone through the winter, and then the germination rate comes up really, really high because if it were to germinate right away when it fell off the plant, it would freeze and never make it through the winter. You know, and so those are kinds of wild seed, drought-resistant, climate-resistant characteristics that that plant's been taking care of itself for a long time. And, you know, working from wild seed to domestic is a development process. It has been measured by numerous scientists that the THC level of the wild naturalized hemp is all below the target of our regulations. You know, though they may be flawed, we do have a definition in the federal statutes from the Jared Polis's wonderful amendment, which provides for a definition of industrial hemp, and it also takes away the prohibition from any federal employees being involved in hemp processes, because it clearly defines that hemp is below 0.3% THC. And EU and Canada both have seeds that have a long history of being certified to produce materials below that standard.
Okay, Josh, forgive me for interrupting again, but I'm trying to keep on time with everything. I just unmuted everybody so they can ask you questions. So do you mind if, you know, we give everybody a chance to kind of ask you some questions if there are any, and then we'll soon be moving on to our second host or guest of the call. But not yet, so you still have a little time. So I want to ask anybody.
Encouraging questions.
Yes, just please announce your name, at least your first name, if you can, before you start talking. So feel free to go ahead and ask Doss if you have any questions for him. Now,
yeah, Veronica, somebody else wanted to go?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is Grant Orvis from the Colorado Hemp Co-op. I actually have one comment and one question. The first comment is yesterday Jared Polis's office actually held a farmers roundtable meeting, and one of the discussion topics that we were discussing was the pollen and the transfer of pollen. I had said 1 to 2 miles, possibly as high as 10 miles. You had just said 5 miles. Boulder County, along with Colorado State, actually informed us that they had done a research on corn pollen, and, you know, corn being a wind-pollinated plant as well. They found that even though corn pollen may be able to travel as far as 100 miles, that active pollen, which actually results in the reproduction of the plant, only transferred or only moved about 400 feet. So even if we still have to worry about the 5 miles, maybe 10 miles, we need to perform that research and development because it might not be as bad as we think, which would be a good thing. So neighbors might still be able to grow different cultivars of industrial hemp. And then my second question,
Can I address one question and then go back to that? And then ask your second question? Okay. Well, thank you, Grant, for your wonderful question. Good practice in feed production from some conversations that I had with hemp seed developers in Canada is that for the development seed and foundation seed, they employ a good practice of 5-mile buffer, whereas in production of their certified seed, they use a 1,000-foot buffer between various varieties. And so that does reflect your active pollination buffer.
Good, good.
Producing of the certified seed, the Canadian certified seed is intended to be planted to produce what they call grain, which is a generation that is suitable only for pressing into oil and using as industrial materials. And they do not allow the replanting of the certified seed.
Okay,
and
that's
so
perfect.
So,
and then my second, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Next question?
Yeah, so I actually in February applied with the USDA to import viable hemp seeds and was denied based on the fact that the DEA is saying no because it's still a controlled substance. Mm-hmm. You had said that you're going to be able to get your import license. What are you doing that's going to allow you to get or to bypass the DEA and their argument that it's a controlled substance?
Well, first off, I waited until Jared Polis's amendment was signed into law.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I applied on
February
27th.
I couldn't hear you.
I applied on February 27th.
I'm sorry. I heard the word 127 was all I could hear from you.
No, I was getting an echo. I applied for my license on February 27th.
Okay.
Which is after the law became in effect, which was February 7th.
Well, I concur with you that there are some big uncertainties about volumes of plant, well, any foreign import seed. And so I am continuing on both tracks. One, seed development and multiplication of the very limited quantities of seed we have right now. And I've been discouraging people from expecting a truckload, and I hope I didn't communicate that wrong. I didn't say that I have a permit. I am working, as are you, on a permit. And I believe a permit that has a fully declared import is an important milestone for us to achieve. And so I celebrate anybody who achieves that. And I would like to buy some seed from you if you get it before I do.
I would love to buy some seed from you if you're able to get some as well.
Yes. So that is one of the uncertainties that we're working under. And there are so many more acres that people want to plant hemp than there is seed to plant them. And I suspect that it may take until after a sensible planting time for such a permit to be issued, but it will be at some point as this gets resolved. The jurisdiction issue, I believe you're raising about the DEA is still claiming jurisdiction over industrial hemp, but I would refer everybody to the Single Convention Treaty on Narcotic Drugs. Section 28.2 states that no part of that drug control convention shall be construed to restrict the cultivation of the cannabis plant for the sole purpose of producing industrial materials, parentheses, fiber and seed. That's section 28.2. And under a long-standing legal precedent, treaty obligations trump U.S. statutes. Just read the Constitution. And so when the United States signed that treaty, that was the U.S. government granting permission to grow industrial hemp. Now, a right is not a right unless you exercise it. But this single convention treaty needs to be intimately associated with the jurisdiction issues of this. And I can understand the profit motives behind maintaining a prohibition. Prohibition is the only people who have learned how to make crime pay. I think that's a serious problem, and I celebrate Jared Polis's office for bringing this together. And is there a link to where we might, was there a video or an audio stream of the Jared Polis meeting?
No, there will be another meeting, and I'll be sure to let you know. It's kind of an invite, at least right now only, type of situation, but I'll let you know for the next one, and maybe I can record it and post it. But
okay.
We have, like, maybe 3 minutes for any questions left for DOS, and then we're moving on to the hemp opportunity sponsorship. So is there any other questions that DOS can maybe answer for anybody before we jump off with him?
Chris here.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, DOS.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Hey, I met you last year on down in downtown Denver at that building materials deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm Chris, right.
That was Josh and John making the building blocks, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got some big connections now international with building hemp, but that's another subject, tell you the truth. But what I'd like to do, I'm working on a project for Veronica about trying to get an oil press where somebody could have it in their kitchen. And I was wondering if I could stop by today or soon and just chat with you face-to-face.
Oh, I'd love to talk to you about that. Getting it down to that small of a scale may be challenging. Could be really worthwhile.
Well, I've invented about 20 machines in my career, and I'm really good at doing this homespun kind of stuff. So, instead of me trying to reinvent the wheel, I wanted to start out talking to you. And so, do you want me to call you on your cell after this call's over, or what do you think?
Please, I would very much like to talk to you about that, and I hope I can be some good help to you.
Okay, I'll call you when
welder?
It's over. Yeah, I've got your number, and I'll give you a buzz when we're done here. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I think we need welders and designers and pattern makers and molders and foundrymen to make the kinds of tools that we need to have at our disposal.
Yes.
Lots of room for jobs coming. All right, Doss, I have to move on, but is there any last remarks you'd like to make or comments to the audience now and in the future about anything relevant, or at least give us your contact information one more time?
Yeah, once again, I am Doss at hempicecream.com. You can get that off of the label of the hemp ice cream if you're in the area. And I wanted to celebrate you, Veronica, for conducting meetings and generating a record of the meetings in such a transparent manner. You have been bringing some tremendous leadership to the many challenges that we're facing. And I just want to celebrate you for doing such a beautiful job of that, and may you have the energy to continue doing that quite well.
Thank you, Doss, and if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be doing it, so I appreciate you more than you realize. All right, so you are most appreciated for being on this call. It will be available online at Grow Hemp Colorado for future reference to listen to Doss's recording today. So, Doss, I'm going to move on to our hemp opportunity, and I will chat with you later. So thank you again.
Okay, may I stay on and listen?
Of course you can, definitely. Bye. Spread the word after we're done. All right, so everybody, we're moving on to our second part of the show. We only have about like maybe 10-ish or 13 minutes left, and we are going to talk with Shay Todden. I hope I said that correctly, Shay. And he is with Chelsea Green Publishing. So do I have you on the call, Shay?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay. Okay, so I am going to let you kind of take over. Let me quickly ask you who you are. Tell us about Chelsea Green Publishing and how what you exactly want to do with the hemp opportunity for sponsorship this summer.
Sure, sounds good. So my name is Shay Totten. I'm the communications director here at Chelsea Green Publishing. We are a book publisher based in Vermont. We've been around since 1984. We currently only publish books of nonfiction. We've done a lot of the foundational books on everything from green building to organic farming and gardening and homesteading that you'll find out there. Some of our lead authors are people like Elliot Coleman, Sander Katz. And so that's sort of what we've been doing. We've also published a couple of books, in fact, about hemp. We published John Rulak's book back in actually 1997, called Hemp Horizons. I don't know if some of you are familiar with it. But we published that book back then. It's currently out of print, and we're looking at working with John to bring it back into print again. And we're about to print another book this year called Hemp Bound by Doug Fine, which features a number of hemp entrepreneurs and farmers from around the country and around the globe, and focuses on largely what we're hoping will be a reemergence of hemp across the country here. And so one of the things that Chelsea Green likes to do is our authors are largely people who do what they write about. In other words, we have farmers and homesteaders not just writing about why it's good to be a farmer and homesteader, but they're doing it from practical experience. And as a company, what we like to do as well is do things a little bit differently than most book publishers. So when we had the opportunity in talking with Veronica and some others in Colorado about how we could demonstrate some support for and show that our commitment to the hemp economy and growing hemp was more than just promotional material for a book, my first push, which was a little ambitious, was to figure out a way we could help distribute hemp seeds and get hemp seeds planted in more spaces around the country. Now, of course, we all know that's not necessarily legal, so we had to tamp our enthusiasm a little bit and learned about some of the opportunities in which we could actually support directly a hemp farmer in Colorado. So what we've done is we've put together a little criteria for what we'd be looking for to do sort of the Adopt a Hemp Farmer plan, and Chelsea Green as the company would like to do this for this year. Now, of course, we have a hemp book coming out, so we want to use this as a way to kind of not just promote the book but also promote the emerging hemp industry and sort of and hemp economy. And so we want someone who, a hemp farmer who's going to be, we've listed this out, and I think Veronica will pass this along after the call. You know, we're a book publisher focused on sustainable living. We print domestically. We use, in some cases, like with Doug Fine's book, Hempbound, use 100% recycled post-consumer content paper. We are all about walking the walk. So we're looking for a farmer who's working and going to be growing hemp in an ecological way. We want someone who's going to be committed to the economy in the long haul. And, you know, we also want them to be able to sort of provide us pictures, maybe video, and updates along the way so we can tell the story of what it's like to grow hemp again in this country and why it's important. And then also be comfortable probably talking to the media because we are planning on promoting this not just to pat ourselves on the back but just kind of push our industry a little bit more. We've pushed our industry very heavily on using better and greener practices in printing and distributing books. We also want to do this in different ways. And to step back, too, I forgot to mention, we're also employee-owned, and that's 2 years now. And, again, this is another way that we sort of believe in the kind of democratic economy that we believe should happen at the business and at the local level. So, anyway, but getting back, we want to be able to have someone who's going to work with us on this, isn't afraid to have their name in the paper or help with promotion, and we're not asking people to sort of go on tour or anything, but just be available to us and be willing to work with us on helping to tell the story because we feel like it's an important one to tell. We don't publish books on just about everything. We want to publish things that we think are important and that are leading edge.
Great. Yeah, it's really exciting to have you guys on board. I think it's awesome, the opportunity that you are affording and that you realize it's on a small scale. So let's talk just quickly about, you know, what other benefits come with the sponsorship. And, you know, this is kind of just outlined right now. And when Let me tell everyone real quick, backstep a little bit. So basically in a week or two, we will be having a conference call at which point the Chelsea Green Publishing will be on the phone listening to everyone's pitches. So I encourage everyone to get their 30-second, 60-second, whatever, pitch together and get ready for this pitch call conference at which time they will pick somebody after that call. So the basic guidelines, though, at this point looks, and correct me, Shay, if I'm wrong, like it looks in the cash amount of $1,000 for a sponsorship. Grow Hemp Colorado will definitely step in and help support whatever farmer is picked. If you don't have your own seeds or your own plants, so we're there to fully support this opportunity and to make sure it becomes successful. You know, he already mentioned stuff about media coverage, et cetera. So we will be having a pitch session in about a week and a half or two on one of these conference calls. That information will be available on Facebook and growhempcolorado.com of that date and that time. So everyone get your pitches ready because this is a super exciting opportunity. And the last part of that I would like to kind of just mention is Chelsea Green would like the opportunity to have the stock at the end of the harvest season so we can maybe experiment perhaps with DOS to make some paper for their future efforts down the road. And there might be an opportunity for purchase of seeds, et cetera, perhaps, and that can all be discussed. Does that sound pretty correct, Shay?
That is correct. Yeah, I didn't mention that. Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, too, because that is something that, you know, it's going to depend on the farmer and sort of what we do, but that is certainly an option we're open to because we think it could be kind of fun and beyond fun, but sort of a good demonstration of some things that can be done and that we can sort of help promote.
Very exciting. Okay, so I've unmuted everybody. Does anyone have any questions for Shay regarding this super awesome hemp opportunity coming up for this season?
Sure, I do. This is Doss.
Hey, Doss.
Yeah. How much paper do you use when you make an addition?
It depends on the print run, and I would have to ask our production department what it is because I'm not even sure how much it is, but I can tell you that we actually did, we spent close to 6 months trying to find a large enough source just to do 10,000 copies of Doug's book, and we could not find something that was sourced in a way that we would feel comfortable printing. And by that,
okay.
I mean, in some cases we couldn't.
And when you print, do you use roll paper or sheet fed?
I believe it's roll paper.
Okay. We need to talk after the call on some details, but I would love to see you printing on hemp paper, North American hemp paper. And
I've kind of volunteered you to participate, Doss, in this little sponsorship opportunity. You don't quite know that yet, but just FYI.
I'm very
so
glad
that
you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yes. So does anyone else have any questions about this? And we might actually go back and review this again. It will be available online for everyone to listen to. So spread the word because it is a great opportunity. It's, you know, for small farming efforts this year, it could definitely grow into some larger opportunity next year and the years to come. So any last questions perhaps for Shay?
Sure. Yes, this is Bailey again. I just had a quick question. Hey, is there a website we can go to look into your publishing company?
Sure. If you go to chelseagreen.com, and Chelsea,
all right.
Chelsea Green.com.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
I also have a question.
Yes, and if anyone's interested, Doug Fine, author of the Hempbound book, he will be at the North Co. Expo that is happening on April 5th. And I believe that books will be available. He might even be signing books. I know he's going to be a speaker there. And Doug is a very cool, down-to-earth guy who's super knowledgeable. So he will be at the North Co. April 5th Expo, if anyone's interested, on meeting Doug and attending that day. It will be a really cool hemp event.
Can I get a question to Shay? This is Chris.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Shay.
Hey.
Did you look into paper sources from China? for your trying to get in a lot of paper for an edition?
I'd have to ask our production. I'm on the publicity side, so I'd have to go back and ask. I could ask, though. I think there might have been, but we're very hesitant to look overseas for anything, including printing.
Yes.
And that's partly just because of who we are. And,
Yes.
Print. Yeah, so, yeah.
Thank you
for
that. Well,
China is sanctioned to be the hemp producer of the world. It used to be Romania, and they've moved the operations to China. And, I was just curious what your take was on all that stuff. Obviously, as Das said, we want North American hemp, to supply your paper needs. That's a fact. I also know a guy over in Israel that is been a paper maker for 30 years. And so I could open up some lines of communication if you're interested in something like that, too. So.
Yeah, we're open to looking a lot, and I could get a full rundown. In fact, I kind of have to at some point when the book gets released, because one of the things that we're trying to communicate as well is that it was near to impossible to find something of the quality and environmental sort of environmental quality as well as just sort of book quality paper from North America. It was at least the sources we were looking at, from according to my production director. It was near impossible to find anything, in North America, and it was a struggle for us, and we felt like it shouldn't be. It's like there's no reason this should be this hard.
We want to achieve the level where this is passe.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Did you look at those guys in San Diego? Greenfield Paper Company.
I can ask. Like I said, I don't have a full list of what we did and what we didn't look at. I just know that we spent about four and a half months chasing down sources all over the place.
Yeah, I would imagine that they're just selling the Chinese stuff, but we'll see.
Because I think the issue we found was finding enough in quantity, quality, where it was sourced from, but also the type that would run on the machines that our printers would be able to handle.
Mm-hmm.
We contract out our printing to book printers. We don't print ourselves, so we don't have the machines to print the books. We contract out with other companies to do that.
The key to American hemp is hemp paper is meeting the minimum processing requirements of a pulper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at 20 tons probably minimum. If they'll be nice to you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might have to do a 100-ton minimum run.
Get ready to work, Doss.
Yeah. So, hey, get those hemp fields ready to go. So I know that there's, that there's 20-ton quantities of hemp that I know where they're located. I would love for us to meet that minimum requirement, and I think a book publisher or a periodical, either of them would be able to use that quantity of tonnage. Whereas we also want to make reams of paper available to people, because it's just like the hemp ice cream sandwich. It gets the conversation going, but I think that the volume that a publisher uses is something that could justify a print run. Can justify a paper run of that sort of tonnage. It's just one truckload.
Right.
All right, I'm going to give two more minutes and then any more questions, and then we're going to wrap it up for today. Any other questions for Shay, perhaps?
Yeah, I also have a question.
Sure. Is this Derek?
This is Derek Cross.
Hi, Derek.
Hello. My question is, I know we're talking about the hemp for paper, but has Chelsea Publishing done any thought on research and developing use of hemp oil for ink?
No.
Okay.
Maybe a future project.
Along the lines of non-toxic inks and paints and varnishes that hemp oil can produce as well. So that's another thing that could be put into the research and development process.
It's a great idea. Thank you.
I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, I have had some very productive conversations with ink manufacturers.
Huh.
Good. That's good to hear. Wow. Thank you guys for being online. And once again, thank you, Veronica, for everything that you do.
Oh, thank you, Derek. And you're on my list, just so you know. So one love always.
Well, terrific. Thank you.
All right. Well, everybody, I appreciate the time, Shay. Is there any last, you know, anything that you'd want to say to, in closing, or, you know, give us at least the link of how to check out Chelsea Green Publishing or the Hemp Bound Book by Doug?
Yeah, so if you go to chelseagreen.com, if it's not featured, it'll be featured there soon. The advanced copies came in yesterday, so they're going to start heading their way to bookstores now. So you can check out Doug's book. And starting next week, if you go to the main page of our website, we're posting some fun stuff that we pulled both from Doug's book as well as John Rulak's book, just about hemp. It's all stuff you folks know, but it's not stuff that the general public knows necessarily. We even scanned an old chapter from John's book to kind of give it some new life. So go there, check it out. You know, check out what Veronica's going to post to give some more details of what I just focused on. And, you know, I look forward to hearing the pitches and trying to find a farmer to work with us on, you know, trying to help not just, you know, grow crops, but spread the message and get the word out to the broader community, and especially the publishing industry, because we're going to lean heavily with whoever we work with. We're going to be pushing hard to kind of work on our fellow publishers, even and sort of quote-unquote green publishers, sustainable publishers, to be pushing the envelope on this topic and to be trying to make their demand for the kind of ink and or, you know, paper and then maybe even ink, which I'm interested in looking at now going forward. So, you know, we want to have you help us kind of lead that discussion in our own industry, because we think it's one that we could, you know, really, you know, make a good, quick difference in if we do it right.
Well, great. Thanks, Shay. And I really just want to say also, I think that it's awesome what you guys are doing, and I really appreciate deeply the efforts that you guys are putting forth and just the overall interest that you have in supporting Colorado hemp farming efforts for this season. So I want to just give you guys a big shout out, and I will always promote you because what you're doing is epic, and I think it's a great opportunity. So thank you so much for being on the call today, and we will have you again on soon when everyone is ready to start pitching to you. So thanks again, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and everybody else.
Hemp ice cream.
Yes, hemp ice cream, and thanks, Doss, again. And please, everybody, you can definitely listen to this call online at either YouTube under Hemp Conference Call, or you can always go on growhempcolorado.com and listen to it as well at your convenience. So thanks again, everybody, and happy hemp growing.
Hey, Veronica.
Thank you, Veronica.
Veronica, the next call is March 26th, Wednesday, 6 to 7. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, next call will be Wednesday,
okay.
And then the following Friday, and we will be having Stan Garden at the Boulder County DA coming soon on one of the Fridays to discuss a bunch of stuff.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.